I'm wondering what it means when you start to learn, you're doing it for an ulterior motive, but as this year progresses and you like it,
so let's see. So let's go in order. As I said, Rabbi Sacks' Torah was one that so many people enjoyed, and I want to dedicate this year in his memory. And I want to ask a very simple question. Are you allowed to enjoy Torah? If you look at the screen, you'll see, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma zochel ledvarim harbe. If you learn Torah for its own sake, not for some ulterior motive, then you get many, many things. Or as the Gemara in Tainis says, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma torato na'aset lo sam chayim. Whoever learns Torah again for its own sake, the Torah becomes a drug of life for that person. So Bruce says, if this was the two sources you're bringing me, Rabbi, I can sleep at night, because all you're saying is to learn it for its own sake. So this morning, I put on my computer and the Zoom. I didn't know what you're going to speak about. I said I'm going to learn God's Torah. It may be the most boring shiur that he ever gave. It may be the most interesting shiur. Now, I'm coming to it with the right motives. If, as time goes on, it turns out to be enjoyable, great. Or Bruce will say, you know what? I'm learning Torah just to enjoy it. But we have an ironclad rule in halacha, and that is, mitoch shelo lishma, anyone want to continue? Mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. So, I'll learn it for its whatever ulterior motive's sake, and I'll get to the right reasons. So, from this perspective, I wouldn't have a problem if I ended here. But because Arthur thinks this shiur would be boring, I'm not going to end here. It's like the etrog in back of Arthur, Arthur Etrog. You have an etrog in back of you, looks beautiful. Once we look at it, we may puzzle it. Let's see if we can do that in this shiur. You ready? Let's go. Next source on the page. The Gemara, and here is our problem this morning. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, as well as other places in Chas, it's not just in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. B'shofar sheshlamim lo yitka ve'im yitka ve'im taka lo yatza. If you take a shofar off a korban shlamim, a korban that you dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, then you're not yotze. You don't fulfill your obligation of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara explains, shlamim delaf lav bat mi'ilanin hu isurahu. You are not allowed to use the shofar for non-korban purposes. So if you take the horn off the korban, you're using it for a different purpose. So the Gemara says, Ki kataka bi surataka. With due respect, what isur is being done? After all, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Yotza mitzvot lavle not nitnu. At the end of the day, when all the dust settles, you can take a shofar off a korban and blow. Why? Because the Isser is for you to derive benefit from a korban. Say you dedicated a korban, and then you ride it to the Beis HaMikdash. You ride on its back. That's you getting personal benefit from it. However, if Alex takes the shofar and blows it, for the sake of the mitzvah, not for his own enjoyment, he doesn't have this urge to blow shofar. God told him to. Then the Gemara says, mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. You don't derive benefit by doing a mitzvah. So even though you light Hanukkah candles and they look beautiful in your window, and they look even more beautiful when you post them on Facebook, and everyone says beautiful and you get 65 likes, due respect, the mitzvah was not given to get derived benefit, and you're not doing anything wrong. Explains Rashi that you're not allowed to derive benefits from mitzvot. Lihiyot ki yumam lahem hana'a, ela le'ol tzavarihem nitnu. The Torah has to be a heavy load on your back. And therefore, even though it looks beautiful, it's a nice, beautiful mitzvah you're doing, it's not given for benefit, and you don't derive benefit when you do a mitzvah. So ask the B'nai Yisachar the following question. Let's stop. Who is the B'nai Yisachar, the son of Yisachar? Have you ever heard of him? Very good, Bruce. So you have to ask, who is this fine gentleman? His mommy didn't call him B'nai Yisaschar, clean your room. So who is the B'nai Yisaschar? The B'nai Yisaschar is Vatzvi Elimelech Shapira Midinov. I did a great chesed this morning, and that is that I put the actual biography in purple under my name. So if the shir gets boring, at least you can figure out who the man is. His name was the Rebbe from Dinov, very famous Talmud Chacham, who wrote a book called Derech Pikudecha, which is literally the mitzvot of the Torah. I believe he divides it up based on your body. These are the mitzvot you do with your mouth, these are the mitzvot you do with your hands, etc. Now, he lived from 1785 to 1841, and he was of the Hasidic movement, and he brings the following in a book that I put under my face over here, called the Igra de Kala. The, let's say, notes from the bride. Hine sha'alu talmidei Baal Shem Tov le'Rabbam HaKadosh li'Yisrael. So the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, founder of the Hasidic movement, says, they asked, Maya se Adam, sheyesh lo ta'anug midivrei Torah, ve'libo sas v'sameach, ve'im ken nehena me'atorah. We just learned you're not allowed to derive benefit from mitzvot. So if a person goes ahead and does a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is learning Torah, and he enjoys it, it stimulates his mind, it helps him with life's problems, then quite frankly, maybe he's doing something terrible, because you're not allowed to derive benefit from mitzvot. Mitzvot lav lehenot niknu. So you thought at the beginning of Shir, all right, it's sake, it's not at sake, who cares? The bottom line is, if a mitzvah was not given to derive benefit from, how can you go ahead and derive benefit from it? You can't read a book by Hanukkah candles. Amongst many reasons, mitzvot lav lehenot niknu. It's for the sake of the mitzvah, it's not for the sake of you reading a book by the Hanukkah candles. So how can you enjoy this Shir? You got to come out of this shir with a sour face. You got to say it was awful, terrible. It was the most biggest waste of my time. But what can I do? God put upon us a heavy yoke, as Rashi says here, called learning Torah. We got to learn it. It's boring. It's terrible. It makes me fall asleep. I need 5 cups of coffee just to get through half the shir. That's the proper way to come out of a shir. But if you come out of it and you say, whoa, that was a great shir. I'm smiling. Big Avera, you're the biggest sinner in the book. Thus, I entitled the shir, if you enjoy this shir, are you a sinner? Because if the mitzvot were given not for benefit, you can't derive benefit from the shir. So let's see what Chazal and our poskim have to say about this issue. Can you enjoy a good Torah shir or not? I'll give you one example. Rabbi Sacks, the day he died, this video went viral, 1.5 minutes, where someone asked him, why is it that the righteous suffer? This is like the cardinal question of all generations. And do you know what he answered? He said, if God would have explained to us why the righteous suffer, why evil is basically good, we'd stop davening to eradicate evil. We'd say, oh, now we understand why there's evil in the world, so let's leave it. It's good we don't understand it, so we try to fight against it. Well, that's a beautiful thought. It's so beautiful. I went around saying, wow, I never thought of that. But maybe I should walk around saying, oh my gosh, I just learned Torah. I got to feel like it's a yoke on my back. I got to feel like I'm sweating. I got to feel like I'm out of breath. Because if I, God forbid, smile, I'm a sinner. So let's see what the Gdolei HaPoskim have to say about this question. In Chazal, we have conflicting evidence. As a matter of fact, same daf, in Mesechet Avodah Zarah. In Amud Bet, in the orange part of the chart in front of you, you'll see that the Gemara says, La'olam yishalesh adam shenotav. A person should always divide up his learning third, third, third. Shlish ba'mikra, shlish ba'mishnah, shlish ba'talmud. So it's not up to what you want to learn. It's not up to what your heart desires. I don't care what your interests are. Every day, a little Tanakh, a little Mishnah, a little Gemara. You don't like it? Tough. And indeed, on that same daf, blue side of the chart, Meseches Avodah Zarah, daf Yutet Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, on that same daf, but Amud Aleph, En adam lomei Torah el b'makom sheli bo chafet shenemar ki'im b'torat Hashem cheftzo. So according to that Gemara, you only learn where your heart desires. So which one is it? Should my heart desire what I learn? Or should I learn regardless of my heart's desires? As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful medrash in Shmot Rabbah that says, and I quote, Vayiten el Moshe kechaloto ledaber ito bahar Sinai shnei luchot ha'idut. Ma'i kechaloto. What does it mean that when God finished talking to Moshe and Har Sinai, he gave him the two luchot? So the Medrash says, don't read it as the word kechaloto, he finished, but rather read it as the word kala, namely, ko mishu motzi divrei Torah. Ve'einam erevim al shomeihem kechala, shehi areva leba'ala. Noach lo shelo amaran. If you teach Torah, and the taste is not desirable, just like it's desirable for a groom to get married to his bride, it's better you don't teach it. It's better you don't say it. Namely, if you come out of this shiur and the shiur wasn't wonderful, if you didn't say after this shiur, wow, that was the best 45 minutes of my life, it's better you don't give the shiur. And I have to be honest with you, this medrash scares me. Maybe it scares Dr. Daniel, but it scares me. Because after I finish a shiur and I feel it's lousy, I always think to myself, Noach lo shelo amarad, maybe better you shouldn't have said the shiur at all. Does anyone know where the word arev, arevut, comes up in the reference of Torah learning, Torah fulfillment? Anyone? Another medrash. Kol mi shomer divrei Torah b'rabim ve'inam arevin al shomeihen kidvash v'chalav mu'uravin ze bazeh. Noach lo shelo amaran. It has to be sweet, like milk and like honey. Gentlemen, where does this come up? Okay, Dr. Daniel knows the answer. I'm not going to bother him. Alex is, well, I'm sorry, Alex.
Is there another pusing?
Oh, Alex, thank you. I want you after this year to tell all your colleagues, your fellow classmates, to drink as much coffee as you do in the morning, because you gave the right answer. And they were all sitting there saying, this, I don't know where this comes up. Gentlemen, did you say Birkas HaTorah this morning, or are you all learning Torah right now, sinfully, not because you're enjoying this year, but because you didn't say Birkas HaTorah? According to one day on the Gemara in Midorim, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because people learned Torah without saying Birkas HaTorah. In the Birkas HaTorah, do we not say, as Alex said beautifully, the Arev Na, Hashem Elokeinu, Adivrei Torahcha B'fino? Arev Na, it should be sweet. It should be nice. So which one is it? Do we have to learn the Torah for its own sake? It has to be something that we do as a mitzvah, period. Don't enjoy, don't be happy, don't be clappy. Or no, it has to be sweet, it has to be nice. Conflicting evidence in Chazal. So let's see right now. We started the shir by saying you can't enjoy and derive benefit from mitzvot, and therefore the question is, can you derive benefit and enjoy a shir? That's a good shir. Let's begin, and let's see. There's going to be 4 points of view on this issue today. Number one is, you're not allowed to enjoy. Don't enjoy the shir. Whatever you do today, don't enjoy the shir. Come out of the shir saying, I didn't enjoy it. It was Torah learning. It was a mitzvah. I didn't enjoy it. The second point of view is, what are you going to do? If you learn such beautiful Torah words, it's natural to enjoy. The third point of view is, it's not the goal of learning Torah. But if you happen to enjoy, God will say it's not a sin. And number four, enjoying is the goal of learning Torah, period. So let's see the 4 points of view. Don't enjoy, it's natural to enjoy. If you enjoy, it's not a sin. Or it's a mitzvah to enjoy. Let's begin. This is like a shir where I'm trying to convince you not to enjoy my own shir. This is the most bogus shir I've ever given in my life. I'm shooting myself in the leg. But Torahi olelomda ani tzarich. It's the Torah. It's a sugya. We gotta learn it. So let's begin.
What about the teacher who gives the shir? Is he allowed to enjoy teaching the shir?
If it's Torah learning, he has as much of an isser as everyone else. In our religion, Bruce, we don't have this division between the flock and the shepherd, the clergy and the congregants. In our religion, we're all chayiv and mitzvot equally. So if you're not allowed to enjoy the shir, By listening, I'm not going to enjoy the shir by giving it. But you know very well that that's going to be difficult, because many a times I give this shir and I let off steam, and I feel great afterwards. You go home saying, hey, all this rabbi does is complain. But see, after I complain to you, it's off my back. Now it's on yours. I ruined your day, but my day's good. The difference between teaching and listening. So let's see. Can we enjoy this shir? Opinion number one. The opinion of a great Litvak Lithuanian from my bar mitzvah. I got the book called Or LeYisrael. And as time went on, many other svarim written by Rabbi Yisrael, but Rabbi Shlomo Yaakov Rabinovich. He was born in 1850. I don't know when he passed away. For some reason, I couldn't figure that one out before this year. He was a Rav in the Lomja area. If you know the yeshiva of Lomja, in that area, he was a Rav. So, what does he say? He doesn't quote this, but I'll quote it. It says in Pirkei Avot, and we learned Pirkei Avot to try to get a better understanding of how to be a good Jew. Kachi darka shel Torah. This is the way of learning Torah. Pat b'melach tochel, a little bread with some salt, umayim b'msurat tishteh, and a little bit water, ve'ala aretz tishan, and you sleep on the floor because you can't even have a bed, ve'chayei tzar tichyeh, and your life is terrible, uvatorah ta'amel, and you still learn Torah. Says Rav Yisrael Rabinovich in a book called Yismach Yisrael, a picture of his book you can see on the screen right here on my right, and this is what he says. Kol alomei Torah, anyone that learns Torah, umevin umekir bepilpul visfarata Torah umit aneg, and he understands it, and he says it's fascinating, and he loves it. Lezeh lo nikra lomo Torah, then you're not learning Torah. Learning Torah is to take a piece of Torah, you don't enjoy it, you work hard on it, and then you did a mitzvah. But if it's so enjoyable, maybe you're doing it because enjoyable, you're not doing it because it's a mitzvah. Ki b'zeh she'adam nehena v'sameach, v'lo yiyach, v'lo yiga, the person's so happy, and he doesn't get tired, and he doesn't feel, oh, this was hard and difficult. Eitzel zeh, lomen al ofen zeh, tzol nikra avodah v'yigiyah v'amal, ki lo yargish ha'tanug me'atorah. No way. Because why does he say this? He says, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot didn't say, you know, even if you're suffering, you don't have, unfortunately, money, you should learn Torah. No. What did the Mishnah say? Kachi darka shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. The way of Torah is to suffer and learn. So you don't enjoy and learn. First point of view, Rav Rabinovich in the Yismach Yisrael. If you enjoy learning, it's not a true fulfillment of learning Torah. Now, the other sources we're about to see are going to say differently. But how do they explain this Mishnah? They basically will say, this Mishnah doesn't mean this is the way to learn Torah. It means that if you don't have money, and you have every excuse in the book not to learn, you should still learn. But it's not like an aspiration to not have food in the refrigerator and still learn. It's not like if you have food in the refrigerator, Bruce, you can't learn Torah. You got to empty the refrigerator, starve to death, and then learn Torah. That's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means that if, God forbid, that's the case, you still learn. But the first point of view, Rav Rabinovich says in the Yismach Yisrael, that no. This is the way to do it. You have to learn. It has to be difficult. And then and only then it's a mitzvah. So I want you to think about the day you don't want to get up to minyan. The day that you get up for minyan just because it's a halacha. You don't like the davening. You don't like the weather in the davening, the environment. It's too hot. It's too cold. The chazan was too slow or the chazan was too fast. That's a true fulfillment of a mitzvah. But if you get up and you're in a good mood and you go to minyan and davening was perfect, timing, environment, not a full fulfillment. Yes, Bruce.
This would mean that if you have an option of two different shirim to take, one you know you're not going to enjoy, and one you know you will enjoy it, take the one that you don't enjoy. It's like a greater challenge. It's a greater mitzvah.
That seems to be what he's implying. Correct?
We
And I would think it would be Lehecka, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to pay as much attention. You may drift off. You may not learn as well.
I agree. But this is his point of view. Point of view number one. Very simple. The mitzvot we're not giving for our personal benefit. We can't derive personal benefit, therefore, from learning Torah. And his Mishnah in Pirkei Avot proves it. Point of view number two. Point of view number two says it's not the goal, but it's not a sin. And the one that says this is another litvak, I would say the misnagid, or to be more precise, student of the misnagid. The founder of the Volozhina Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, thus he's called Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. He had a different last name, but we all call him that. He wrote the Nefesh HaChaim, which was like the antidote to anyone. The Hasidic work called?
The Tanya,
excellent. So he wrote the Nefesh HaChaim. This is like the Lithuanian version of how to be a good Jew against the Tanya. By the way, that's a Jewish tradition. Anytime a book was written and someone didn't like the book, he wrote a book against it. That was the Jewish tradition. They don't go on Facebook and say the guy's an idiot. They don't go and put up a pashkavil. I'm not even going to translate what that is. They go ahead and they write a book against him. That was the proper way that Jews disagreed. Sometimes it was vicious. Vicious. I'll give you an example. Have you ever held a Vilna Shas in your hand? Don't answer that question. Because if you didn't, you're going to be embarrassed. So don't answer. Now, in the back of the Vilna Shas, we have the reef. Have you seen the reef in the back of the Vilna Shas? On the reef, written like the Gemara page, you have on one side the Ran, sometimes the Rabbeinu Yonah, and sometimes on that particular reef, you have the Rivet. Now, the Rivet, as we all know, was a little bit of a contentious figure. He wrote against the Rambam on the Rambam. So he wrote the Rivet's Perush on the reef, disagreeing with the reef. The Ramban, with a nun, decided to write a Perush against the Rivet, defending the reef. You know what he called his Perush? He didn't call it the Ramban's Chidushim. You know what he called it? Anyone? Milchamot Hashem. What would we call that today? Jihad! Jihad against the Rivet! You understand, Milchamot Hashem, the wars of God. This was the Jewish tradition. You had something against the rabbi, you wrote a book. You didn't go ahead and post it on Instagram. You didn't post it on Twitter. So, Nefesh HaChaim against the Baal HaTanya. In the Nefesh HaChaim, when he talks about learning Torah, which is the Lithuanian approach to God above and beyond everything else, says Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, who died in 1821, everyone learns for different reasons. Do me a favor. Some people learn because they love money. What does that mean, they learn because they love money? They learn, they have something to say, you get paid for a good lecture, it's for money. Or, above and beyond money, most people like vitamin K. You know what vitamin K is? So where's my medicines here? I got vitamin D. You know why I got vitamin D? Because I am the most laziest person on earth. My vacation is to sit in a hotel and do nothing. On my grave, my kids are going to write, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha. And under it, they're going to quote Chazal from Mesechet Sukkah that says that a certain rabbi was Meshabeach et Ha'atzlanim. The ones that were lazy on Yontiv, on Chol HaMoed, didn't go anywhere. So, vitamin D is because I don't get enough sun. If you are out there and you take walks and you get enough sun, you don't need vitamin D. But I do exercise on a treadmill, so I need vitamin D. What's vitamin K? Arthur, you want to try this one? What's vitamin K?
Vetch.
Good guess, but no.
Potassium.
Rabbi Dr. Dov Revel Zichrono Levracha was the founder of what we call today Yeshiva University. It wasn't called that then. He said that his great donors, his wife said that the great donors for the yeshiva were people that loved K-O-D. You remember C-O-D? C-O-D was cash on demand. When you came and you delivered a vacuum cleaner, you gave the guy cash. That wouldn't go today. What's K-O-D? Kavod on demand. People love kavod. Don't you know that? We say it in the benching. I heard this from Rabbi Moshe David Tendler. We say it in the benching. Harachaman, hu yefarnesenu, bechavod. God should give us a lot of kavod. We love kavod. So some people learn Torah because, you know, afterwards they quote a Gemara and a Rashi. Ah, people look up to them. So some people learn for money. Some people learn for kavod. Uvenei aliyah, the most worthy people. Asher kavanatam ach lishma. They learn Torah lishma. Hey, Mamua team! They're the, almost no one like them. Most human beings who learn Torah learn because God told them to, and for a different reason. Like, I learned Torah for this shir. A, because God told me to, and B, I'm preparing a shir.
So, could lishma mean not that you shouldn't learn to earn a living?
That's a separate issue. A separate issue, a very famous Rambam, but well, that's a separate issue. So says the Rav Chaim Ivalojin, Him lo med lishma, al minat lasot. You learn Torah to know what God asks of you, what He asks you to think, what He asks you to do in terms of mitzvot. Uve limudo hu nehena michochmata, and during his learning, he also enjoys it. Lo yechashev lo zot avon. That's not an aveira. In other words, if you're eating matzah for the right reasons, on the night of the Seder, and you eat it properly, and after you ate your kazai, you said the matzah was good this year. Oh, it's fresh. That's okay. But if you eat matzah only because you love matzah, because you love Jewish stuff, then it's a problem. So, Sefer Chaim Ivalojin, if you learn Torah because God said so, and you also enjoy it, or you also get kavod out of it, and we'll leave out the issue of making a living, because that's a very big issue, then he says it's not an aveira. All right, this is what I call the tolerating point of view. The first point of view of Rav Rabinovich was, it's a sin, don't enjoy. And this point of view is, if you do it for the right reasons, but there's another thing that comes with it, then it's okay. Like Grunstein gave a shir, we learned a Gemara, and a Mishnah, and a Rav Chaim Ivalojin, and then he also gave a few jokes. So, all right, that's okay. But if you only came for the jokes, we got ourselves a problem. Jackie Mason, by the way, was an Orthodox ordained rabbi. He said one of the reasons he stopped being a rabbi was people didn't come for his drushes, they came for his jokes. He was machber on lishma, you understand? Anyway, go to the next issue.
I thought the K-O-D was liver on demand. They wanted a liver sandwich, chopped liver.
K for chopped liver? How does that work in the English I know? Isn't K?
Covered.
Alright, could be. First, third point of view is who we started with, the B'nai Yisaschar. By the way, you know why he called the book B'nai Yisaschar, the son of Yisaschar? Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapira from Dinov heard from his Rebbe that he's from the Shevet Yisaschar. Now, how his Rebbe knew is beyond me, but apparently his Rebbe knew this piece of information. So he called it B'nai Yisaschar. Okay. Ve'hishiva Baal Shem Tov. This is the answer to Baal Shem Tov. Shezeu misgulat ha-Torah be'atzma. She'im misamachat u'misisa nefesh ha-adam. The Torah, what are you going to do? It makes people feel good. When you learn Torah and you learn God's holy word, it makes you feel good. Even though a person is only learning because God told him to. It's very much like this. You're eating a Shabbos meal because God said so. Now, by definition, the Shabbos meal is delicious. It's fresh. It's good. It has that extra spice, as Uncle Moishi taught us, that the extra spice is called Shabbos in it. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have to eat the Shabbos meal for the right reasons, but part and parcel built in is enjoyment. So says the B'nai Yisaschar, unlike Rav Chaim Ivalojin, it's not that if you have another motive, then it's not a sin. He's saying, by definition, the Torah is so beautiful. It's stimulating for the mind and for the heart. That by definition, you're going to enjoy it. What are you going to do? You're going to enjoy it. This reminds me of the famous, famous story of the two Rebbeim, I forgot who, that decided to have a big question. Do we enjoy the Shabbos meal because it's Shabbos, or do we enjoy the Shabbos meal because, quite frankly, it's good food? So they made a test. On Wednesday, they put a nice white tablecloth, and they put cholent on the table, and they put on their strimel and their bekesheh, and guess what? They enjoyed the meal. So maybe the whole Shabbos idea is fake. So one Rebbe said to the other, I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, one Rebbe said to the other, you see, the Shabbos is so strong, even when it's fake, it works. So same thing here. The Torah is so strong that even when you learn it for the right reasons, you enjoy it. It's built in. It's built into the Shabbos meal that it's delicious. What are you going to do? Yes, Bruce.
This seems to be the natural answer, because on Tisha B'Av,
very good.
The assumption is you're just going to naturally enjoy Torah, so you can't learn it.
An Avel, a mourner, can't learn Torah because it makes you happy. It makes you happy. You have a very good question. And this leads us to the last and final point of view. So we saw today that you're not allowed to learn Torah, point of view number one. Point of view number two, if you come for the right motives, then it's not a sin if you have other such benefits. Number three, it's built in. And now comes number four. Number four is the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Two different worlds. Or HaChaim HaKadosh was called Or HaChaim HaKadosh because he wrote a perush. If you look over here in the Mikrot Gdolot, very simple edition, a perush on Chumash. He was a great Kabbalist. That's why he got the name Kadosh. And he says, She'im ayu b'nei ha'adam margishim b'mitikut va'arivu tova Torah, hayu mishtagim. If people would really feel how beautiful the Torah is, they would have gone crazy. Because it's so sweet, so beautiful. And indeed, the one who's known the most with you have to enjoy Torah is the Eglei Tal. Who is the Eglei Tal? I don't even know what the word Egel means with an Aleph. With an Ayin, I know it's an animal. But with an Aleph, I don't know. The Eglei Tal is the Sachachuk of a Rebbe. You heard of Kotzk, the Kotzke Rebbe? So when Kotzke Rebbe died, they split into three groups. Ger, you probably heard of the Ger Hasidim. Kotzk, whatever was left of it. And Sachachov. The Sachachov Rebbe, Rav Avraham Bornstein, who died in 1910, he made it to the 20th century. He was a great Hasidic Rebbe. He was also a Lamdan and a Harif, meaning he had witty things to say. For example, he has a beautiful tshuva about why is it that all the Gdol Yisrael didn't make Aliyah? And he explains, because to make Aliyah means you live in Israel, you function in Israel, you make a living in Israel. But if the great Rebbes would make Aliyah, they'd all be supported from Chutz La'aretz in my time. That's not Yeshuva Aretz. Or I'll give you another tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Also very harif, very, very sharp and witty. He says that it's a terrible idea to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the silent Amida. Have you been to shuls where they blew shofar in the silent Amida? Shtibels? Chassidim, he says it's a terrible idea, it mixes up the people. And then he ends the tshuva with the following note. I'm saying it in my language, but this is basically what he says. He says, but what can I do? I'm a Rebbe, I do this for a living, so I gotta blow shofar in the silent Amida. So that's the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer in his book Eglei Tal, which is a perush on the Malachos of Shabbos, the 39 Malachos of Shabbos, one of the most lumdish books on Maleches Shabbos, says, and I quote, V'hinei bataz, da'af mitzvot lav lehenot nitu umutar b'moder hana'a, ein no kein batorah sha misamachat halev. If a person makes a neder, I will not derive benefit, I swear in the name of God not to derive benefit from this phone. He can't use the phone. But if you say, I will not derive benefit from putting on tefillin, you can still put on tefillin, because mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. But if you say, I'm not going to derive benefit from learning Torah, no way, you have to keep your vow. Why? The simcha v'hanah shemitaneg b'limud haTorah hi michlal mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah, he says, no more, no less, is to enjoy the Torah. So we saw all these sources, he says, part of the mitzvah is to enjoy the Torah. Now, why is that? Two points of view in the next slide as to how that works. One point of view is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, because God enjoys Torah. God went ahead and enjoyed the Torah. He basically said, Hashem kanani reshit darko kedem mifalam me'az. Namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya mishtasheh abba. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the Torah. So we have to follow in the ways of God. We have to enjoy Torah. Or Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar, less known Rishon, says, as Bruce said, why can't an other learn Torah? Because Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Leiv. Ikara Tzivui Hu, Kedei Letzayer HaEmet, V'Litaneg V'Lehenot V'Madal L'Sameach Levavo V'Sichlo. Rav Herschel Schechter says, how come when yeshiva bachers learn, they all scream at each other? But when reverends learn, they don't. So he gives the following perush. This only Rav Herschel Schechter can say. Because reverends are dealing with Avodah Zarah. So it's all fake. But we're dealing with Torah Semes. So we have to get to the truth. When we get to the truth, we got to scream at each other until we get to the right perush. But once we do, wow, we understand life. We understand mitzvot. It gives us this great joy. So whatever the reason might be, Bruce's reason or Rabbeinu Yonah's reason, follow in the ways of Hashem and be happy with the Torah, or by definition, the part of the mitzvah is to explain things, understand things, and then you get happy, says the Eglei Tal, that is the goal of learning Torah, to enjoy. So we saw four points of view today. Either you're not allowed to enjoy, if you do, it's not a sin. It's built in like a delicious Shabbos meal, which is also delicious, or the Eglei Tal based on the Taz and others, that it's the mitzvah itself to enjoy Torah. And I'd like to end with two perushim to what we started with. We said that there's one medrash that says the Torah has to be areva, delicious on your lips. So we say v'ha'arevna every morning in the Birkas HaTorah. What does that mean? So I heard from Rav Usher Weiss, Shlita. I believe he's the only rabbi I quoted today outside of Rav Herschel Schechter, who Baruch Hashem is alive and well. So Rav Usher Weiss, Shlita, says, there's two perushim that Abud Raham gives to Vaharevna. The Abud Raham, a Sephardi Rishon, wrote a perush on the Siddur, because he said that Arthur's going to daven, and Bruce knows a perfect Hebrew, modern Hebrew, and because he knows modern Hebrew, he's going to mess up his entire davening. Because the Hebrew of the Siddur is biblical Hebrew, not modern Hebrew. So he had to go and explain to all those that know Mishnah Hebrew, Gemara Hebrew, what it really means. So what's v'ha'arevna mean? He brings two perushim. One perush, he says, where am I going to get it from? Bible. So I opened up the Bible. I did a search. Now, we do a search to their computer. He did it in his mind. He said, Al Shem V'arva LaHashem Minchat Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. Does anyone know when we read these words this year? Well, maybe we didn't read it. We were in lockdown. I forgot already. So I'll let you off the hook on this one. Shabbos HaGadol. The Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol starts with that God, it will be sweet to God, the Mincha, the Korbanos of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. It means sweet. The Torah should be sweet. But there's another perush to the word ha'arev or arev. You know what an arev is? Bruce, what's an arev kablan when you learn Bava Metzia? Bava Basra?
A guarantor.
What's a guarantor?
He has to pay if you don't.
Very good. A guarantor is someone that gets you out of trouble. Before the guy breaks your legs, he pays on your behalf, right? So says Rashi, that's what it means. It doesn't mean go ahead and enjoy Torah. It means be a guarantor that we should learn Torah. Just a guarantor, as the Bach says, Rav Yoel Sirkis, who wrote a perush on the Shulchan Aruch, father-in-law of the Taz, he says, Lefisha Kadosh Baruch Hu ozer betomech lechol haosek batorah, umelamed oto lahavina buriya, lachen mevakshim mimeno yitbarach, veomrim ba'arevna, namely, God, make sure I have a guarantee from you, I'll understand what I learn. Doesn't mean sweet. But I believe that the Jewish people have paskened like the first perush. Namely, if we don't enjoy Torah, we probably won't learn it well. And I believe this entire shir can be summed up as follows. You have to learn Torah and you have to enjoy it, and that will induce more shiurim, more Torah, more books, more scholarship. If we were only like Rabbi Sacks in that sense, maybe we too can write a book a year like he did from age 40 on. But if for some reason you wake up one day without without motivation, you still have to learn. That's what I believe the other deyot mean. Namely, if and when you don't feel like it, you still do it. If you're very poor, like the Mishnah in Avot, or you have no motivation, you still learn. You still open up a sefer and you learn. Doesn't mean it has to be Gemara, doesn't have to be Mishnah Berurah, it can be anything you want. But you still have to learn. But the goal should be learning and enjoying. And if that is attained, I believe more shiur, more scholarship will come. I end my talk here in honor of Rabbi Sacks. I believe his Torah will endure for generations. I miss him greatly. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope that many will follow in so many of his traits that he left behind us. Any questions? I know Rabbi Kantarovich usually comes on. So, yeah. Rabbi Zephyr this morning. Okay.
Yeah. For those that hold that learning with this Hanah that you're getting, are they also saying that you get less schar?
I didn't get into the issue of schar because I'll be honest with you. I really don't know what the schar is for mitzvot. And I'll tell you why. Because I know what the onesh, the punishment is if you do averus. There's malkos, there's kares, there's skila, there's makat mardus. So then you can go ahead and have a hierarchy. Sachar, when I get up to 120 years, I'll be able to know. But then, Arthur, I won't be able to tell you about it until you get up there and you'll know too. So that's the problem with sachar. Gentlemen, on this high note, any other questions or we give it over to Rav Zeff? A good day, everyone. I hope you enjoy what you're learning this morning. And if you don't enjoy it, then learn anyway. I think that's the best way to sum up this year. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone.